All right, take your Bible if you would, and we're going to get after Psalm 145. And I will try to speak in a speed that you can catch the notes. There aren't a lot of blanks. You have one blank per point, but we do have, I didn't do the math, and you don't need to do it right now, but somewhere in the ballpark of 25 or so points tonight. And neither of these points are deeply, deeply developed. They're simply meant to be headings to give to you. And what I want you to do with those notes, the reason I took some time and printed that out and so forth, I want that to perhaps become, and maybe not for everybody, but maybe for a handful of people in the room tonight, that'll become a part of your daily devotions, at least some aspect of it, where praise ought to be a part of our daily life. And you might wonder, hey, what do I praise God about today? Well, I've given you a ton of things here on this list. I can almost say it's an exhaustive list. There are a handful of things that I left off, but what I did do is I read through, I think it's almost 500 verses in the Bible that have the word praise, though that's not exclusive. There are other times where the Bible talks about giving glory unto God. It's very much the same thing. And so I can't say it's exhaustive, but I would say it's probably exhausting because there's a ton of notes there. There's a ton of things that deal with the topic of praise. So we're in Psalm chapter 145. You'll notice at the top it says David's Psalm of Praise. And this psalm was a song to the Hebrews. It's something that they sang, and it is completely directed toward God. One of the things that I appreciate about our songbooks, but also one of the things I don't appreciate about our songbooks, we have songs of great doctrine in our hymnals, songs about God. But what you find in the Psalms is most of the Psalms, and I did the math on it one time, I believe it's 7 out of 10 Psalms in the Bible, and I might be a little off on that. I did spend some time counting that about a year ago. I believe it's 7 out of 10 Psalms are directed to God, and then the remainder would be about God, where it's talking about Him, it's talking about great is thy faithfulness, and so forth. But the vast majority of the Psalms in the Hebrew hymnal were directed to God, as though they were speaking to Him. And you'll see some of that as you read through it. And so we're going to start this evening and talk about praise. The series title is Sacred, That Which Belongs to God. As we pointed out each week, oftentimes the things that belong to God, or the things that God holds in high regard or in holy regard, we would, as God's people, maybe not intentionally, but just by force of habit, we would view them as more common. Things like praise, things like prayer, things like even saying grace over the food. We tend to become a little bit mechanical in our lives and in the way that we treat that. I think we as humans naturally have a difficult time holding something in sacred regard for an extended period of time. Perhaps as we first acquaint ourselves with some aspect of the nature of God, or maybe even some song, it excites us, and man, it is what we would call sacred, and we're excited to be at church when we're newly saved, or we're excited to sing the songs, or we're excited to read the Bible, or we're excited about the opportunity to pray. But after a while, we become familiar with it, and it loses some of its majesty, it loses some of its luster. And probably the most obvious example or arena that happens in would be music. And we'll spend some time, I think in 2 weeks is when I'm getting to music. But music is a really obvious way to illustrate that we tend to lose our excitement for things that are holy. Do you remember the first time you sang it as well? And maybe you don't exactly, but I remember years and years ago, I think I've been saved for over 20 years now, the first few times I sang it as well, it hit me in the heart. I mean, the idea that my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, you know, my sin not in part, but the whole was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. And maybe you're here and you're new and you just got saved, and that song is still very exciting to you. I was talking about the Magno about statistics, and I don't know who makes this statistic either. Somebody said after, I think it's 5 times of singing a song, it loses its strength to you. Now, how you quantify that or how you measure that, I have no idea. But I can speak from experience. The more times I've sung something, the less excited I tend to get about it. And to be honest with you, I'm not sure that's avoidable. I think as we just become familiar with things, as we just become practiced in things, it tends to lose some of its excitement or some of its newness. And just kind of a side note, that's why I think it's important as a church to kind of have some varied songs. We don't just sing the same 4 songs over and over again, because if we could do that, then we'd all be balancing the budget during the 3rd song because we know the entire song by heart, and it's no longer exciting to us. But we as humans, as I said before, or have a hard time holding things God values in high esteem for very long, because we become acquainted with them. We become practiced with them. We become maybe gifted in those areas. Think about the first time you ever taught a class, and the first time you did it, man, you begged God. You may have even fasted, like, I'm going to teach a third grade Sunday school class, and this is terrifying, and I need the breath of God on my life, and you're confessing your sin, you're getting right, and you've been doing it for 15 years, and you walked into class and thought, okay, what story am I going to tell? Now, obviously, I'm not advocating for that. But we tend to lose the value of things that God loses value. We become mechanical, and then eventually we become a little bit irreverent in those things. It happens in music. It happens in our regard to church. And we'll get to that idea a little bit later on. It happens in regard to the holy name of God, that we would be so cavalier, even as his people, to use his name in vain. Where once it was holy and sacred, it's now kind of casual in that. And it happens with praise. And that's where our study's going to land. Where once our heart couldn't help but gush about the God who redeemed us. We couldn't help but, you know, we got saved and we were at work and we didn't know any better. We were just telling everybody about Jesus. And we just didn't know any better. And then we figured out, well, this is weird and people think I'm weird. And so I'm not going to be as vocal about the praises of my God. And now we come into church and it feels a little awkward when pastor asks for praise. Hey, does anybody want to talk about the goodness of God tonight? And it's like, can we move on? Can we, you know, get something else in? And can we just jump over that? And so tonight I really want to refresh our understanding of praise. And to be honest, to a certain degree, I want to teach you this evening, maybe some principles that you've not seen yourself about the idea of praise and perhaps change the way that we think. Now, you have a handout there. And like I said, I'd like you to make this a part of your worship of God, perhaps in the future. But in the handout, again, I know the printing is a little weird, but we're going to start with why we praise. Then we're going to move to how we praise. And I'm going to give you some biblical principles that help kind of define praise and that kind of help us guide the way that we praise. And so my prayer is that we will acquaint ourselves tonight with a biblical view of what praise is. It's not simply a time for God's people to come to church and fill a slot or even, you know, ramble about something. It's not a time filler. Praise is an opportunity to glorify God. And you're going to see how God responds to praise in our study tonight. And really, it is very much a study. So I want to get us in a bit of a posture of praise. I believe it's David in Psalm 145, David's Psalm of Praise. I want to read that with you. And I'm going to give you a little bit of homework. And I've been trying to do this more and more. But what I want you to do is I want you to find at least 15 reasons in this psalm why you should praise God. Take it home. Do it. I counted 34 things in this one psalm. It's only 21 verses, I think. 34 things that David says, I'm going to praise God because of this. And if you go home and you don't use the handout, but you use Psalm 145 during your prayer time, I think that'd be awesome. And so let's just get in a bit of a position of praise, a posture of praise. Let's read through David's Psalm of Praise tonight. We'll pray. Then we're going to get into our study and we'll get into your notes there and hopefully teach you some things. The Bible says in Psalm 145, verse number 1, I will extol thee, my God, O King. And that's the first thing I notice. When David is going to praise God, he praises him because he is king. Okay, so look for things like that. I won't give you every one, and that's probably the last one I'll give you, but keep reading. And I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day I will bless thee. And I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. Praise him for his greatness. Okay, that's the second one I noticed. All right. Verse number 4. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. Notice how it's just coming out of him. He cannot but help but talk about the greatness of God and his terrible acts and his greatness. Verse 7, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and they shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger. If we can't praise him for that, then what are we? I mean, we're missing the boat on that one. The fact that God doesn't consume us because of his mercies, that is worthy of praise. That we ought to extol him. We ought to magnify him. We ought to glorify him. We ought to praise him because he's slow to anger, and praise God for that. Verse number 8, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. I think that's important. Verse number 10. The entire earth, think about this, all of creation does what God created it to do, except us. The mountains praise him. The trees point to him. The animals glorify him. Everything God created to do what it was supposed to do does what it's supposed to do, except us. Okay? Keep reading. They shall speak, verse number 10. And thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. Verse 11, they shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and his glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. That's worthy of praise. God's going to be king throughout all of our life, before our life and after our life. He will still have dominion over all the world. Verse 14, the Lord upholdeth all that fall and riseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways. Praise God for that. And holy in all his works. And the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. To all that call upon him in truth, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. And he also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the ability to praise. You've given us lips. You've given us breath to glorify you. I pray tonight, Lord, in a bit of a different style approach to the scripture, very topically driven, very word search driven. I pray that we would at least have an exhaustive view of some sort of what it means to praise and why your people should praise and how we should praise. And so I pray, God, that in our hearts that we would tune our hearts to this truth tonight, that we would more accurately reflect the principles and truth of praise that we're going to learn this evening, and to help us to go from this place as people of praise, declaring your works to all generations, to everyone around us, God, that it would just exude, that it would just come out of us, God, in the workplace and in the home and in church, especially, God, that we would praise you and that we would glorify you. Thank you for being who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's get into our notes. Let's get into some of the nuts and bolts. You have blanks, one blank per line, if you would, and you have a ton of verse references. And if you're quick and want to go after it, you can start turning to some of those. Even if you get ahead, that's great. I'm going to read all of the verses that you have in your notes. And so you'll notice some of them have one that might be easy to turn to. Some of them have 4, 5, 6, 7 verses. The reason I left those there is when you go home, I'd like for you to get in the habit of praising. And if you need a memory verse, there's some verses. If you need a refresher to kind of position your heart in the day toward praise, grab one of those verses, write it on a 3 out of 5 card, put it in your pocket, and take it to work with you. So let's get into it. Number one, why we praise. Number one under that, because he is our, here's your blank, God. Because he is our God. Psalm 118, verse 28. And because I have so many verses, I'm not going to be able to give you as much time to get to them. But the good news is you have the references in front of you, so you can start turning some of that. Now, don't break your neck trying to get to those, okay? Some of those you can go and look up afterwards. And obviously, like I said, I'll read them to you. But he is our God. Psalm 118, verse 28. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. That's pretty clear. The psalmist here, and excuse me, if I say David and it's Asaph, please forgive me. But the psalmist here, he says, because you're my God, I'm going to praise you. Because you're my God, I will exalt you. Have you ever stopped and realized that he could have been someone else's God and not yours? You could have been the lost person who stayed at home to worship at the altar of an inflated ball tonight, instead of being the one who God has saved, put his spirit inside of you, and called you to a body of believers to come and hear his word tonight. You could have just as easily been the person located at the address next door or the address across the street. And yet, because of the grace of God, you are saved and he is your God. He redeemed you, became your God. And that ought to swell our hearts to a place where we just say, praise God. Thank you for being my God. Thank you for being my rescuer. Because it's solely by his grace that you are saved. You could have been worshiping at the altar of some Hindu god in the Middle East or some version of Muhammad in Pakistan tonight just as easily as you were born in the place you were and the gospel came to you when it did. It's by the grace of God. And if there's one reason to start off with, why should we praise? Yeah, I've got trials. I get that. But he is your God. He is your God. Number two, we praise him because we understand that he is king. He is king. Psalm 47, verse 7, for God is the king of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. Here's what he said. He's king. You understand that, right? And because you understand that he is king, you ought to praise him. Now, listen, there's nothing like rooting for the team you know is going to win. Now, I have absolutely no idea who's going to win the Super Bowl. In fact, I asked Brother Anderson. I think he just recently became a Rams fan. I'm just kidding. He's been a Rams fan for years, as long as I've known him. But I asked Brother Anderson. He's got his Rams football team tie on. And I said, are the Rams going to win tonight? He said, well, they should. They're the better team. Well, last I checked, I'm not sure if that's happening. I won't spoil it for anybody. But how beautiful is it to know, I know my king wins. I know when we get to the end of all of this, it doesn't matter what agenda prevails. It doesn't matter who sits in the White House or who's king over this, that, or the other. The fact of the matter is, Jesus is king. God is king. And because of that, I can praise him. I can glorify God knowing that he has all power reserved to him in heaven and in earth, knowing that he is the creator of all and he's the sustainer of all and he is the only one who rules supreme. That no one stands a chance. No one can beat our king. Number three, why should we praise him? Because he has saved us. That's 1 Peter. And you may not be able to jump there, so I'll read it to you. But you have the note. You have the reference there. 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. Things that God in the Old Testament used to describe Israel, he's here using to describe his people, those that are saved. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He said, because you are his, because you are redeemed, because you are a chosen people, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, he says, you ought to praise God. Now, I was thinking about it as I was studying this week. I remember the day that I got saved. I hope that you can remember that. And if you're here today and you're not saved, today can be the day of your salvation. I'll just say that. But let me just try to remind yourself of the day you got saved. For me, it was January 21st, 2001, and we walked into the back door of Baptist Church. You've all heard this story, I know, but I got saved that day. We got in the car, and man, we went to Grandma's house. And be in prayer for Grandma. Grandma just had a heart attack. We thought she was going to die this week, but they managed to do some things for her, and she's 93. And keep her in prayer if you would, but she seems to be doing all right. But we're on our way to Grandma's house, and I just remember this feeling, this lightness in my chest. This hope in my heart that forgiveness was on my record, that God loved me and that I was saved and that fear of death was removed and that person that I once was, I'd no longer be. And I remember just being excited. I just remember, I didn't know how to praise God, but from my giddy little 12-year-old heart, there was this exuding praise to God. And I think sometimes we're so familiar with being saved, we kind of lose that. And I would suggest to you that praise ought to come out because he has redeemed us. Now, number two on your notes, which is actually number four on my notes, so please forgive me. Let's not address that anymore, okay? Pardon, okay? Number four, I'm just going to say the number that's on my list. We ought to praise because he is good. Now, Psalm 107, go there. Let's do this. I'll give you a chance to get there. Psalm 107, verse 8. I'll give you a chance to get there. Psalm 107, verse number 8. Amen. That was me. And it's completely on silence. I have no idea that happened, but amen. Psalm 107, verse number 8. All right, I think most of you beat me there. All right. Psalm 107, verse number 8 says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Now let's look at Psalm 107, verse number 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works in the children of men. Jump down to verse number 21. I bet you can guess. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for the wonderful works that are to the children of men. Jump down to verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for the wonderful works to the children of men. And here he's making a statement, and it's not a question mark, but it's a statement. He's just saying, shouldn't we praise him? Like, oh, that men would look at how good God has been to man. They would look at God and say, you have been so good to us. I can't help but just praise you. Listen, I just say this. There are a lot of things that God does that I have a hard time understanding. That maybe we would even, in honesty, have to say, I don't see any good in this. And over the last few years as a pastor, as different suffering has come into the congregation, and different people have had, young ladies right here, if you'll help me with that, just as things have happened in our church family, it's been difficult for me to kind of make sense of some things, to try to say, hey, let me help you with this. Let me give you some perspective. But it's hard to even see and say, hey, that's good. Because sometimes the things that God does, follow me here, and don't throw rocks at me just yet. Some of the times the things God does by themselves, they're not good. Praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. Psalm 148, verse 13, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. Depending on how you look at it, there's approximately 70 to 77 names or iterations or combinations of El and Jehovah and different titles of God. He has one formal name, but many titles throughout Scripture. I'm going to give you a handful of them. And just think on these things, that this is worthy of praise. His name, Elyon, means the Most High God. Means there's nobody higher than our God. He is at the very top of the stack. He is the highest of high when it comes to God. El Elom, the everlasting God. Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. We learn that name when Abraham is ready to offer his son. And he says the Lord himself will provide a lamb. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is our banner. We gather today because of Jesus. He is the banner over us. He is our king and he is our troop. And we march under his banner. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is our peace. Atik Yoam, the Ancient of Days. He's always been and always will be. We could go on for days tonight, well, that doesn't make sense. But we could go on for a while tonight, just the names of God and how he is worthy because of his glorious name, that we ought to just praise him because he is the Ancient of Days, and because he is the High and Holy One, because he is the God of the universe, because he is Elohim, plural God, that he is the Trinity. We can worship and praise him simply because his name. Number six, we praise him because he inhabits our praise. This is the verse, I think, and this the couple verses. Go to 1 Peter, or you can go to Psalm 22. We'll look at both of those. But the idea that God inhabits, he comes and dwells among the praise of his people. We find this in the Old Testament. We find it reiterated, in a sense, in the New Testament. Psalm 22, verse 3 says, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. So he says this, as his people would praise, God would come. We find in 1 Peter 2, 5, speaking of us, ye also are lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And as God would inhabit the temple, he inhabits our praises. He inhabits us collectively. And the idea that God would come down at the praise of his people. Think about this. I want God to inhabit the happenings of this place. I want God to show up for service. I want God to show up in my home. So I'm going to praise him there because he inhabits the praises of his people. I want God to come down and fill your workplace. So have a praise party in the, not maybe the way you would think praise party. Have a moment of praise during lunchtime in the workplace. Just let God come down and inhabit the speech and the speaking and the praise and the worship of his people. Number seven, we praise him because he's worthy. Psalm 18, verse 3, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Listen, if there was ever a worthy expenditure of effort, it would be his praise. We expense ourselves for all manner of things, right? We expense our effort, our time, our talents, our treasure to advance certain things. And sometimes it's worthy, right? Sometimes we think, hey, that was a worthy cause, or that was a worthy endeavor at work. And man, that sure paid off. And that decision was a good decision. But if ever there was a worthy expenditure of effort, it would be the praise of our God. We ought to praise him because he's worthy. Number eight, we ought to praise him because he's righteous. Psalm 7:17, I will praise the Lord. Notice how this is said. I will praise the Lord according, so in accordance with, in according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. He says, because of your righteousness, Lord, I will praise you in accordance to that righteousness, God. The holiness of God is our constant reality. We ought to be worshiping him for that. We ought to be praising him for that. I think about this. The righteousness of God never changes. He will always be the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he's righteous yesterday, he's righteous today. If he loved you yesterday, he'll love you today. If he was holy yesterday, he'll be holy tomorrow. His righteousness never changes, and therefore our praise ought to be offered continually to our God. Number nine, we praise him because of his strength. Psalm 21, verse 13, be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength, so will we sing and praise thy power. You know, when you think about the word strength in parallel with God, he is our strong tower. He's the one that we can run into. He is mighty to save us. His hand is not shortened that he can't reach out and rescue us. God is a strong God and therefore worthy of our praise. This is a thought I have. I don't always know if God will save me from the situation that I'm in, but there is great comfort in knowing this. He always can. It's not a matter that he didn't have the ability to remove that storm. He simply chose not to. Okay? But it wasn't that it was so overpowering and he was so weak and he really wishes he could rescue, but he can't. That's never the problem. That's never the issue. There's great comfort in knowing that God always can save, that he has the ability to save. And therefore, if he chooses not to, it's just part of his plan. But what a comfort in knowing, and what an opportunity to praise that God is good and God is strong, and therefore he is worthy of our praise. Number 10, we praise him because he allows us to. Would you go to Psalm 51? That I want you to see. Psalm 51. Psalm 51:15 says in Psalm 51:15, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praises. God, if you'll allow me to open my mouth, I'll use it for your glory. I'll use it for your praise. Listen, if you have the strength this evening to praise God, it's because he gave it to you. It's because he allowed you the strength to come into this building, to sing the songs to his glory, and to offer praise from your lips. He gave you those lips and the strength to offer them. You're going to see in a little bit that if you have breath, you should be praising. But he gave those things and that ability to you, and therefore we ought to praise. Number 11, we ought to praise because praise is good. Praise is good. Not just God is good, but praise is good. I'll show you Psalm 92:1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Listen, I'm thankful for those in this congregation who rise up and every time there's an opportunity to praise, they just say, hey, let me talk about Jesus for a minute. It's a good thing to do that. It's a good thing to offer praise at the dinner table and just say, hey, kids, tell me something God did for you this week. Tell me something good. It's a good thing to offer praise to God. Number 12, and I think we're getting close to the next block of teaching this evening. We praise because we have life. This one I want you to start turning to, okay? Let's start in, I'm going to have you jump to Psalm 30 and Psalm 115. We praise because we have life. There's a thing even I don't want to say even I, I'm always learning, but something that I had never seen in the scripture that I want to show you tonight in regards to this truth that because I have life, I want to praise. There's another side of that coin that the psalmist, different men offer to God and say, Lord, if you'll extend my life, I will praise. So there's kind of two sides to that coin. We'll look at the first side. Psalm 150 verse 6 says, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Psalm 146 verse 2. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Notice he doesn't say, well, I have all my strength. He says, if I've got any being left in me, if I've got any breath left in me, then I will praise the Lord. There are different men who remind God, it's the phrase I'm going to use. They remind God that, hey, if I have breath, I can praise you. If I don't have breath, then I can't praise you. And in the context of each of these situations, they're in a perilous situation. And they say, Lord, you got to rescue me. And they're not bartering with God. They're simply reminding him that, Lord, you put me here to praise and I'm going to praise you whatever being I have left. But if I go down to the grave, I can no longer praise you. And they're posturing this to the Lord saying, hey, I'd like you to rescue me. And if you do, then I'm going to praise you. And if you don't, I'm going to praise you. But if I go to the grave, then there can be no praise there for you. Notice this, Psalm 30, verse 8. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Be thou my helper. That seems pretty clear to me. He's saying, hey, what, Lord, if my blood is shed and I die today and I go to the dust won't praise you. Be thou my helper. I will praise you. Psalm 88 asks the same question. Will the grave give you praise? Psalm 115, verse 17. Please, if you'll turn there. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Psalm 119, 175. Let my soul live and it shall praise thee. And let thy judgments help me. Isaiah 38, 18. For the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. These different men in different times were just saying, Lord, you gave me breath and ability and I'm praising you. But Lord, if you don't deliver me, what profit is there in my blood? And will the dust praise you? But I will praise you. And I simply want to suggest that whatever we're walking through, to praise him. And maybe in this same context, just say, Lord, I'm going to praise you whatever happens. But if the psalmist can present to God those same realities, Lord, if I perish, then I still praise you, but I can't praise you from the grave. And if you'll extend my life and be thou my health, then I can keep praising you. I just think you find something there rather interesting. Number 13, praise is beautiful. Why should we praise? Praise is beautiful and it's appropriate. I love this verse in Psalm 33. You're close to Psalm 147, so you can jump there. It's very much the same verse. Psalm 33:1 says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely." That word comely means proper. It means beautiful, and it means properly adorned. To be well-dressed, to be beautifully adorned. It says that praise is comely for the upright. Psalm 147, verse 1. "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely." It's beautiful. Here's the thing. When God's people praise, it's like a beautiful garment on them. There's something wonderfully beautiful about a saint just glorifying God. You know, we had a good time this morning in the 10 o'clock hour. And if you're not in the habit of coming to Sunday school, be in the habit of coming to Sunday school. Leave a little earlier. Get here. Get a part of the study of the Word. We had a great time just praising the Lord. And there's something beautiful about watching Miss Laverne just kind of get in a holy fit and get all excited and you know, get emotional and pray. That's comely. That's pleasant. That's beautiful adorning of a woman who just wants to thank Jesus for what he did to her kid, what he did in their life. And so what a blessing that is. We praise because it's beautiful and it's appropriate. So why we praise? Notice number two. And again, just trying to teach you some things. This part's a little faster. How should we praise? And some of this isn't rocket science, but some of it might be new to us. Number one, we praise him with our mouths. Psalm 119, verse 171. "My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes." The lips were created first and foremost for the purpose of glorifying God. He is the one who made them, and that's the primary use that he made them for. James describes the lips as a fountain from which blessings to God ought to flow. He also says, don't curse men from the same fountain and bless God, but it ought to be a fountain that the glory and praises of our God are coming from. We praise God, number one, with our mouth, number two, with our song. With our song. This is all over the Bible. I had to leave a ton of verses out because it's just all over the scripture. Praise and singing really go hand in hand. I will say they are not the same, though oftentimes they manifest in the same time. Same as worship, right? Praise and worship are separate. Praise is different from worship. Worship is different from praise. Music is different from worship, and music is different from praise. But oftentimes the three of those very much so go hand in hand. So next week I intend to talk about worship and the following about music. Psalm 28, verse 7. "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him." Amen. Not just singing, but song. I don't mean to read into scripture, but I would suggest that, hey, we need more songwriters out there who just with their pen and paper want to praise God for what he's done for us. Okay, that one's free. But Psalm 40, verse 3, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear." That's important. It doesn't say hear it. They see it and fear and now and shall trust in the Lord. Psalm 47:6. "Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises." You get the point there? You say, I'm bad at singing. How many would raise your hand and testify to that? Okay. There's a handful of us out there. The bad singer's favorite verse, right? You ready for it? Psalm 98:4. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All the earth, make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praises." You don't have to sing well to glorify God, because he's not listening for pitch or tone or meter or rhythm. He's just listening for your heart. He's listening for the words that glorify him and extol him and honor him. That's what he's looking for. So you may not be the best of the best of the vocalists, and that's just fine. You sing to Jesus. And during the congregational, you make a loud noise and you sing out to Jesus. You just bless his name. Because again, if we ever get to the place in the congregation where only the good singers can sing, we have lost our heart. We have left our first love. This is not a performance. This is an offering. We are an altar of stones, as the Bible says. We are a holy habitation, the Bible says. We are offering to God these sacrifices. And again, as long as it's from our heart, that's a good thing. So number one, we praise him with our lips. We praise him with our song. Number three, praise him with instruments. All right. Psalm 33, verse 2, "Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and with an instrument of 10 strings." Praise the Lord for the people in our congregation who use their instruments to glorify God. I would suggest this. If you have the ability to play an instrument, so long as it's not like the electric guitar and you're going to get up here and, you know, Stairway to Heaven it. But if you have an instrument that you can glorify God with, I would suggest that ought to be used for His glory. Here in just a little bit, I've already talked to just a little bit with Brother Josh when he comes home and joins our staff. I'd like to start an orchestra. And you say, oh, that's what the big churches do. We should do that. I don't care what the big churches do. God gets glory out of an oboe and the washboard, right? And if you play the washboard or the oboe, come and see me. God gets glory out of the instruments. God is glorified by the sounds of that young girl up here playing the guitar this morning. What a blessing it is to glorify God with instruments. And I wouldn't make that up. Yeah, God gets glory out of stringed instruments. But it says it in the Bible. So therefore it must be true. We ought to praise Him with that. Number four, we ought to praise Him with our, this is important, with our showing forth. So how do we praise God? Well, you got music, you got your lips, you got instruments. And then I would suggest with our showing forth. I got some verses listed there for you. If you can turn to some of them, maybe jump down to Psalm 106. I'm going to read Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verse 3. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. We read it just a minute ago. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Psalm 106, verse 2. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all His praise? It's not just a hearing thing, it's a showing thing. Isaiah 43:20, and the people have I formed, this people have I formed for myself, God speaking, that they shall show forth my praise. We ought to use our lips, absolutely. But we also ought to use our facial expressions to show forth the praises of our God. We ought to use our disposition at work to show forth the praises of our God. We ought to use our visible display of faith to show forth the praises of our God. We ought to use our disposition and our demeanor, the way we respond to critique, the way we respond at the office, the way we respond in the church house. We ought to show forth the praises of God. People ought to see Christians who are pleased with their Father and His goodness in their lives. Not people who are always complaining or perpetually hopeless or angry and shaking their fist or sour at life and generally unhappy, showing forth that life is not fair. They ought to see a people of God who show forth the praises of their God. Number five, how else should we praise Him? With our whole heart. Now, the best I can give you is a definition of this. I don't know exactly how this works. But Psalm 9:1 says, I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all Thy marvelous works. Psalm 86:12, I will praise Thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify Thy name forevermore. The word whole just means this, the sum total of, the totality of. It's speaking of a heart that is undivided or undistracted, that isn't pursuing this and pursuing that. But with God, our whole heart offers praise unto Him. We are focused as we praise Him. Now, that can be practically applied to our heart and our life. If we're taking a moment to praise, we ought to be focused on that. We ought not be divided in our attention as we want to offer praise to God, but we also want to count the light switches in the church building. That ought to be an undivided, undistracted heart that offers praise to our God. Number six, how should we praise? With upright hearts. And then we'll move to principles. With upright hearts. Psalm 119, verse 7. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned of Thy righteous judgment. Psalm 24:3. Who shall ascend into the holy hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy presence? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Praise means more when it comes out of an obedient life. Now, God will take the praise of the prodigal returning, right? For sure. But you think about that 90 and 9 that stayed. One went away, and it was a blessing that it was found. But what a great blessing it was for the 90 and 9 that stayed. There ought to be a certain level of obedience as we offer our praise to Him. Let's jump to the last one. And these are kind of just, I don't want to say these are the overflow. These are the things that we found that I found in my study that fit in a different way, but don't necessarily fall into the first two categories. So number one, principles of praise. He is, that's your blank, our praise. He is our praise. That's a little bit of an abstract idea, but stay with me and I'll read for you in Deuteronomy 10. If you'd like to go there, you can jump down. If you're not turned there, then turn to Psalm 79. That's our next passage we're going to. But He is our praise. Deuteronomy 10:21. The Bible says, He is thy praise and He is thy God that hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. So I know that's a bit of an abstract thought that He is our praise, but follow me here. Our praise ought to be so much directed toward Him that we could define our praise as, man, God is our praise. Every time that person at the office is talking about good things, they're talking about God. Every time that, you know, something bad happens, that person just talks about God. And man, praise the Lord. And he is so on our lips that when we praise, we're praising God. That when we talk about something good, we're giving glory to God. It wasn't just, hey, how was your weekend? Oh, it was good. God was so good. He did this, that, and the other. And every time you're praising, you're talking about God, that he is our praise. He is what we praise. He is what we glorify in. He is what excites us. He is what we, the Bible says, let him that glory, glory in this God, that he is our praise. He's what we glory in. He's what gets us excited. Number two, one generation, these are just principles of praise. One generation shows the praises of God to the next. Psalm 97, verse 13. So we, thy people and sheep of thy pasture, will give thanks for thee. We will show thy praise to all generations. Mom and dad, listen carefully. It's your job to teach your children how to praise. It is your job to teach them to love God, to thank him, to be excited for his many blessings, to not have a critical, complaining spirit and whining like the children of Israel while the bread is yet in their mouth, that they're complaining about this and how come we didn't get that and how come we didn't have that. That's more than just a bad spirit. That's a spirit that's not praising. And that ought to be something we are trying to actively instill in our young people. Psalm 145, verse number 4 says, one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. It ought to be a regular process, a regular practice in our home to talk about God. We were at the Lewis's house recently, and Brother Lewis has a collection of all kinds of crazy artifacts and bones, and he might even have a human femur in his room. I'm not totally sure. He's got all kinds of great things. And as we were sitting at the table, Brother Lewis was just talking about, man, how God made this animal and God made this creature. And we got talking about the I forget what the name of it is, but some form of marine iguana that can shut its heart off for 20 minutes. It swims out into the ocean, shuts its heart off so it can't be detected by sharks, eats fish, swims back on, turns its heart back on. And Brother Lewis is saying, who taught it to do that? God did. And here's how that kind of played out. Brother Lewis, I haven't even told you the story. The other day, Carter runs into the house. He says, Dad, where's my Bible? And I said, it's probably in your room. He said, I've almost got Zayden saved. And I didn't correct his theology. You can't save someone, Carter, okay? But he took his Bible, he went outside, and he sat and he read his Bible with the neighbor kid for a while. And I asked him afterwards, I said, what happened? How did that even come up? He said, oh, Zayden pointed out this bird in the tree. And so I said, man, God made that bird. And then he said he started talking about what we had talked about. And then he got his Bible and sat down and read Bible stories with the neighborhood kids, trying to win them to Christ. Praising God. That ought to be, and that's, I can give you 100 examples of how I did it wrong, okay? That's the one example I can give you, or one of few examples I could give you in that regard. But it ought to be that one generation teaches the next to praise God. That, man, God is good. And look at that bird. And, man, look at the blessings. And, you know, God is so good that we get to do this. And, man, vacation, sure, there was hardship. But, man, God was so good. And we got to do all of these things. We ought to teach our children to glorify God with our mouth, no matter what we're facing. Number three, principles of praise. We are to praise him among his people. Okay, this is a principle I found repeated throughout the Bible. Psalm 22:22, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. My praise shall be before thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. So you say, why do we have a praise time at church in Sunday school? Or why do we take blessings? That's why. Because it's God's people's job to praise God in front of God's people, in front of the brethren, to pay their vows in front of the brethren, in front of those that fear him. Psalm 35, verse 18, I will give thanks to thee. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Hebrews 2:12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Yeah, I mean, that's Old Testament and New Testament. There's no arguing that. You should praise God in front of God's people because it's an encouragement. We're not living that hashtag blessed life where, you know, hashtag blessed has just become a way to brag about something on social media. Like, hashtag blessed, here's my Mercedes. Now, listen, if you use hashtag blessed, I'm not judging you. But most of the time in a secular setting, here's a lost person that doesn't even know who blessed them. And they're just hashtag blessed. I live a better life than you. But we ought to be God's people that just, man, I want to encourage God's people with, here's what he did for me. And, man, I ran through a troop and God took care of me. And I finally finished my schooling. And thank you for this family for loving on me. And thank you for this. And just glorifying God in what we do. So praise him among his people. Number four, we ought to praise him among the heathen. Okay, among the lost. Psalm 18:49. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praise unto thy name. I just think, come on, this ought to happen. This, you ought to be, I'll be careful how I say this, but you ought to be the weird guy at work that's just constantly praising God. Where somebody, you know, something happens and, man, we got a raise, and you say, oh, praise God. Well, that would make me weird. Yeah, but you're praising God in front of the boss people. That ought to be something. Don't be as weird as me. Like, I'm at a football game, and I'm like, amen. You know, like, don't be weird like that. But man, maybe when something good happens, or maybe when something bad happens, maybe we get the notice that there's going to be layoffs at work, and a coworker comes and says, oh man, did you get that notice? And you say, hey, why don't we just pray right now? Well, I don't know if they pray. So what? You do. Maybe they'll know that there's a person, a representative of God there. That there's someone who represents the Creator, and maybe God will answer that prayer, and maybe they'll come to you and say, how'd you do that? And you say, it's not me, like Daniel. It's not me. I can't interpret dreams, but I know one who can. There ought to be some praise among lost people. It ought to be something that just comes out of us at the workplace. That we're just glorifying God. When someone asks you, hey, how was your weekend? You shouldn't shy back and think, oh, I didn't go, you know. Oh, did you see that football play? No, I didn't. I was at church. Oh, I'm sorry. No, you say, no, I didn't, but, you know, and I'm not talking about being, you know, Bible-thumping Billy and condemning everybody for everything. I was at church, he didn't get to church, you know. Maybe there could be a moment where you say, you know, I didn't get to see the game, but man, God still worked in my heart this week at church. I heard a message on praise, and man, it's just been so good, but I'm glad you had a good weekend, too. And then you started a conversation, and you're kind, and you're showing forth the praise of God even among lost people. Man, my son got baptized this week, and man, what does that mean? You know, what an opportunity that praise creates to win your coworkers to the Lord. Our next one's an interesting one. Again, this is one of those ones I wouldn't put in here except I find it in Scripture, so I do. Psalm 138, would you turn there? We ought to praise him in the face of gods, lowercase g. Please make sure you lowercase g that one. Okay, there is only one God. But there are things, as Paul says, that be called gods. Okay. And in every instance that the Scripture affirms the existence of other gods, it's always a reference to what is either a pretend god. In Paul's context, he says they're just rocks, right? They're things offered to idols, but they're just rocks. Or there are, in other references in Scripture, in the Psalms particularly, there are references to gods with power, lowercase g, and those are fallen angels receiving the worship and adoration of men. There are things that be called gods, as the Bible says. But here's what the psalmist says in Psalm 138, verse 1. I will praise thee with my whole heart, before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. So how does that work out practically in the life of a believer? Listen, when the forces of hell come against you, praise him in their faces. There's a lot of examples of that in the Bible. When Paul and Silas sang in prison, the forces of hell binding them. And again, I don't want to give too much credit to Satan, because God, I believe, is the one who put him in that prison cell, and the jailer is going to get saved, and all these different things are going to happen. Praise the Lord. When Paul is bound in a boat, tossed in the ocean for a year's journey that should have taken just a short little while, he's tossed in the boat on his way to Rome to be beheaded, and he's just praising God in the face of the gods. Rejoicing when we're counted worthy of persecution for the cause of Christ. Praising in the face of adversity is more what I would go with there. Principles of praise number 6, praise is a committed practice. And we'll get a little bit harder here as we kind of move toward the end. Praise is a committed practice. Psalm 108, verse 1, oh God, my heart is fixed. That's the key phrase. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. He said, my heart's not going to change, God. It's settled. I'm committed to this. No matter what comes, I will praise you. And I would suggest that that's not an easy thing to do. It's an easy thing to preach, but it's a much harder thing to live. Number 7, praise is to be continual throughout our lives. It's not just a scheduled church time, right? It's something we do every day. Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. And what that means in the Hebrew is all times, okay? That just means all the time. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I've got a couple of verses there in your reference. All day, Psalm 113, verse 3. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Every day, from sun up to sun down. All day, I should say. Then every day is Psalm 35:20. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Every day, all day, continually, I will bless thee at all times. It ought to be something that is continual in our hearts and in our lives. Number 8. And I believe that we are done with this one. Number 8, praise is to come forth regardless of the circumstances of our lives. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He says, the trial of your faith is better than a handful of gold. Now, oftentimes we take a handful of gold over a diagnosis, but God says one is better than the other, and it brings forth praise. Psalm 42:5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Psalm 74:21, oh, let not the oppressed return ashamed. Let the poor and needy praise thy name. I'll praise him when I'm rich. No, God said praise him when you're poor. Praise him when you're needy. I'll praise him when I'm healthy. God said praise him when you're when it's just the strength of his countenance that gets you through. I shared a good story of maybe how to do it wrong. I'll share you or doing it right. I'll show you a story how I did it wrong. Recently, we took a family trip just to enjoy some time away and kind of refresh and so forth. And it didn't go according to plan. And we had to rush home and cut the short trip or the trip short. Actually, ended up in had a family member in the ER and just some things that didn't go well. And somebody asked me afterwards. They said, hey, how'd that trip go? And I'll be honest with you. I said, it didn't go according to plan and some bad things happened and it just wasn't good. I sent it in a text and immediately God smote my heart and I realized that I was violating this reality and I text back and I said, hey, can I amend that statement? I said, God was so good to us. We had moments where, you know, we shared an ice cream and we had these moments where we got to do this together and man, it was refreshing here and man, God sure blessed there. But oftentimes I am prone to focus on the bad. That to the place that I'm not praising. And I stole glory from God that should have been offered to him when someone asked, hey, how'd that go? It should have been, man, God was so good. And yeah, we had some, but God was so good. And that's something that I want to condition myself because he's worthy of the praise from the lips that he created. These lips created for his worship. He sustains us. He provides for us. He's good to us. He's king. He's powerful. All of the things we went over tonight, he's worthy of our worship and he's worthy of our praise. And it's something that we ought to offer as a reasonable service to our God. Let's go ahead and pray.